The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Imagine the scene. An almost breathless man runs as fast as his tired legs can still carry him along a Roman road. The messenger, though exhausted, he now quickens his pace as he nears the end of his long race, because there now before him on the other side of the River Jordan, now in clear view, he can see Bethany of Perea. He will find Jesus there. Soon he will convey the desperate call for help. And Jesus, the great healer, he will hurry back to the side of his good friend Lazarus to heal him. But back in Bethany of Judea, even as the messenger arrives to summon Jesus, Lazarus has already died. Even now, his lifeless body is being prepared for burial. Carefully, lovingly, they wrap it in strips of linen cloth with spices. Outside, the mourners are already gathering. The customary litany of discordant laments and prayers they can be heard as the women of the village raise their voices in soulful wails and sobbing. The whole village has come out to support the sisters in their time of great sorrow and loss. A tomb chamber has long before been cut into the rock face of the low hillside just facing Bethany. Here, the long process of decay will take place in this dry darkness until only dust and powdery bone fragments remain. This is death's final sign of victory. Man returned to dust. Placing the body on one of the three stone benches carved into the walls of this small chamber, more spices and perfumes are now packed around the body to cover the stench of death. As is custom, a small lamp is lit and placed in a niche that has been carved into the bedrock next to the body. The light from the small flickering flame is left as a symbol of hope. Hope that someday this long night of darkness shall end and there will be a resurrection. With a large, tightly fitting slab of limestone, the tomb is sealed. It is by now almost noon. The messenger sent before dawn has surely by now reached the Rabbi Jesus. It is too late for him to come and heal his friend, but at least he will now come quickly to comfort the sisters during the week of mourning that will now follow. No doubt he is even now leaving immediately, and he will soon arrive sometime during the night. Mary and Martha leave the tomb and they return to their home with the rest of the mourners. Occasionally they rise and they leave the house and they walk to the nearby ridge just above their village. From there in the clear winter air, they can see the some 20 miles to the village far below them in the cool and lush Jordan River Valley. This is where Jesus has been staying. From here, they will soon see him coming. But for two full days, Jesus gives no indication of planning even to leave. For two long days, the sisters, they keep coming to the top of the ridge above their village to stare down to where they know he is staying. He has heard the desperate cry from their messenger. They know this. He is so close they can even see the village where he is. And still, he does not come. Their bitterness grows. It grows as they, in hurt bewilderment, they gaze upon that comfortable place where he has chosen to remain, and in full view of them, They've sent for their dearest friend. They have sent for their pastor, their rabbi, and still he does not come. Indeed, it is obvious to them. He chooses not to come. Finally, on the fourth day after the death of Lazarus, the rabbi comes. Understandably, Martha's greeting for Jesus is not one filled with joy. Instead, it is one filled with disappointment and frustration and hurt and, yes, anger. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus now says to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, in response, so she uses all the right names, all the right titles. She calls him the Messiah, she calls him the Son of God, but these are empty words for her. She really does not know what or of whom she speaks of. Mary comes now. She too expresses her great sorrow and her hurt that Jesus has obviously chosen not to come to them when they needed him the most. Falling at his feet, she cries, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We're told in verse 33, quote, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Are these tears for Lazarus? I think not. Jesus knows that Lazarus shall rise. Are these tears for Mary and Martha? I think not. He knows that their joy shall soon be restored. I believe Jesus weeps because he knows his end is coming so soon, and still no one sees, no one believes. He is the very light of the world. He's the one who gave sight to the blind, fed the 5,000, healed the paralytic, stilled the storm. He is the very master of the waves that roll. He is the very resurrection and the life. And they still do not see, so blind in faith. And they would tell him to come and see. And Jesus wept. Coming to the tomb, Jesus commands that the stone be taken away. The people are horrified. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. The stench, it will be unbearable. Martha protests. Martha, the very one who just 10 minutes before had proclaimed him the Christ, the Son of God. So blinded are they by their despair and by their sorrow, they can only hold their noses and protest. As they work to loosen the tightly fitting stone, Jesus lifts his eyes and his hands in prayer, giving thanks to the Father for the glory that will now be revealed. Then looking into the black darkness of the open tomb, Jesus cries out, Lazarus, come forth! The light of his word shatters the darkness. The bonds of death are broken, and Lazarus comes forth alive. It is a story of unimaginable joy and victory. But it is also a story filled with such incredible sorrow, irony, and unbelief. For here are those with eyes to see, and they still do not see. People with ears to hear, and they do not hear, even now. Yes, many of the Jews who came with Mary and Martha, because of this miracle, they do see and they do believe. But for others who see the exact same miracle, this miracle itself becomes their motivation to go and plot with the Pharisees and the chief priests on how now they should finally eliminate this Jesus. Sadly, if we will be honest with ourselves this morning, we know that we are being called to find ourselves in this living story. Like Mary and Martha, so often we too fail to see and to trust in Jesus. We become caught up in the trauma of our own sorrows, the trauma of our own times. Our fears, our griefs, our loss, they overwhelm us. Despair knocks us off our feet, and depression seems to crush us. Oh, it is especially then that we need those eyes of faith. O Lord, when our eyes are filled with tears of loss, let not our tears blind us. Still give us the eyes of faith that we might see. See you, the very resurrection and the life, our hope and our salvation, our mighty defender. You are the one still standing beside us. You, O Lord, you, O Lord, when our hearts filled with sorrow, save us. Save us from turning on you. O Lord, instead, let us turn to you, the only one who can save us. O Lord, when we are weak, be our strength. It is not only Mary and Martha in this story who are blind to seeing Jesus. Most certainly, all of the disciples, they are clueless. They are so caught up in their own agendas of what they expect this Messiah to do for them. Oh, they are too totally caught off guard. For the very last thing that the disciples expect Jesus to do in this situation is to raise Lazarus from the dead. You see, they have been with Jesus for 3 years, haven't they? And yet, they are still so incredibly blind. And therefore, we have to ask ourselves, is it possible to be with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to be his disciple every day of every week and still not really know him, hear him, see him, really not know what he desires for us to do? Yes. Yes, sadly, in our own brokenness, in our sinfulness, just like those first disciples, it is so easy to confuse our agendas with God's agenda, to confuse our will with what we claim is God's will. Therefore, we must constantly be praying for God's own Holy Spirit to convict us when we are wrong, to open our eyes when we are blind, to bring us back to his straight and narrow when we would wander astray. Now, probably the hardest application for the story of the resurrection of Lazarus is for us to find ourselves in that reaction of the Pharisees and the chief priests. Oh, they see the miracle of Lazarus' resurrection. Oh, they doubt at all that Jesus has just raised him from the dead. They don't doubt that. But instead of responding to God's mighty miracle in faith, this miracle is ultimately the event, the very reason that causes them to decide, now we've got to kill him. For this Jesus, he's become too powerful. He's obviously becoming way too influential. And if this Jesus is allowed to continue, then we're going to lose our control on our precious holy place. Certainly, we do not plot to kill Jesus like the Pharisees and the chief priests. And yet, how often haven't we all sought to limit his control in our very own lives? Jesus, you know, you need to learn your limits. Sometimes, Jesus, you're just expecting way too much of me. Jesus, yeah, I know that's your will, but I'm not about to handle that. Nope, not now. Haven't we all? Haven't we all basically said those words to Jesus so many times? Many times, right in our daily lives. But isn't discipleship a call to die to self? Isn't discipleship a call to obedience and accountability? Like the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, oh, we each have our own private little holy places, those areas of our lives, those things, those attitudes, those priorities, those habits, or we want to tell Jesus off limits, back off. I'm going to do it my way. Jesus, keep out. The story of Lazarus is a story of many different people. Mary and Martha, the disciples, the scribes and the chief priests. Oh, they all come face to face with Jesus, the very resurrection and the life. They all have eyes to see. They all have ears to hear. Some in faith believe. Others seek to kill him. And Jesus wept. Amen.